This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Time for the next generation to inherit these values and choose to become a member. That's what these pledge drives are for. So just pick up the phone and call 713-526-5738 or pledge online at kpft.org. This is KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening. This is Jack Belinsky.
And Jennifer Renee.
And J.D. Doyle.
And Glenn Holt.
It is Fun Drive this week and next week, so we're asking you to contribute to Queer Voices and to KPFT Pacifica here in Houston. On tonight's show, we have a musical guest.
Sonia, also known as Sonia of Disappear Fear, will be talking to her because she's coming to Houston. So we're going to kind of promo that and talk to her about her music and her work.
And then also John Netchman of Pom Pom. And Pom Pom is the people opposed to moving the parade out of Montrose.
Oh, how cute.
That's so cute.
That ought to be interesting discussion tonight. And then we have a number of segments from This Way Out. Some of them we weren't able to play from two weeks ago. And that includes a story about the Stonewall Inn in New York City. So all that's coming up on this edition of Queer Voices. But we do want to remind you that it is time to pledge. And let's check out in the lobby to see if we have, if I know we have people out there to answer the phone. And our goal this evening for this show is $900. So we would really like to raise that. We didn't do too well last time. And how important this radio station is to you, I hope, because we do supply you with information that you probably can't get anywhere else. You know, our weekly newspaper is gone in Montrose, the Houston Voice. It became a monthly, and then it became a nothing. It just disappeared, which is unfortunate. And it was being run by a national gay media company. And it's just sort of really unfortunate that they didn't have the resources to keep it going, or they didn't have the marketing ability to keep
it going. That's probably more like it.
Yes.
There's got to be, you know, ads for sale in this city, you know, to support a paper.
Yet other cities of this size or even smaller have gay newspapers. So we try to, you know, we're not a newscast, but we do try to bring you segments from what's going on in the community at, you know, all the time. We have many different people, you know, from music to theater to the band last week to, you know, what's going on with the parade, which is sort of, I think it's going to be a rather interesting season because of what's going on. So we're asking you to call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm John Beaupre.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending January 27th, 2007. The Blair government this week resisted appeals from UK Roman Catholic leaders to exempt the church from new sexual orientation regulations which ban discrimination based on sexual orientation in the provision of goods and services. The new laws were to have taken effect on January 1st in Northern Ireland, but are being challenged in a high court case filed by a Christian fundamentalist group that's scheduled to be heard in March. The regulations are supposed to go into effect in England and Wales in April. Similar UK anti-bias laws already cover such categories as race and gender. The Roman Catholic Church is specifically worried that adoption agencies it operates will be forced to open their doors to potential gay and lesbian parents. But the government's education secretary, Alan Johnson, told BBC Radio 4 this week that, "I cannot see a case for introducing legislation that protects gays and lesbians from discrimination on grounds of their sexual orientation, and then allowing in terms as part of public policy that discrimination to continue." Roman Catholic bishops have threatened to shut down the church's 12 adoption agencies, which process about a third of all voluntary sector adoptions in England and Wales, if they're not allowed to reject prospective lesbian gay parents. The church says it now refers same-gender couples to other agencies that are willing to accept their application. Catholic leaders in Scotland are also warning senior cabinet ministers that they'll campaign against Labour candidates in the national elections this May over the issue. They call not allowing Catholic agencies to discriminate a betrayal.
The leader of the world's 77 million Anglicans, Archbishop of Canterbury Rowan Williams, is supporting the church's request to have Roman Catholic adoption agencies exempted from the new law. In a letter to Prime Minister Tony Blair this week, Williams said, "The rights of conscience cannot be made subject to legislation, however well-meaning." Williams has been under fire for being unable to stem the growing rift within the communion over homosexuality, which will very likely reignite at a global Anglican meeting in Tanzania in February.
The country's major Islamic group, the Muslim Council of Britain, also announced it's backing the Catholic Church's request for exemption. The group issued a statement this week that it fully supports the principled stand taken by the leaders of the Catholic and Anglican churches. Secretary General Dr. Mohammed Abdul Bari said that homosexuality is forbidden in Islam. As Muslims, we are obliged to uphold the moral standards and codes of conduct dictated by our faith.
But England's only registered Jewish adoption agency told the UK's online Pink News this week that they won't seek an exemption from the sexual orientation regulations. Norma Breyer, chief executive of Norwood, said her agency isn't affiliated with any particular Jewish denomination, but that the needs of the child seeking adoption is our primary concern, and we would consider applicants from any part of the Jewish community.
For U.S. gays and lesbians and their supporters, President George W. Bush's State of the Union address this week was most notable for what he didn't say. In his last two State of the Union speeches and on several other occasions, Bush had called for an amendment to the U.S. Constitution prohibiting legal recognition of same-gender couples. But perhaps the November election results served to check the president's use of dangerous wedge politics, National Gay and Lesbian Task Force Executive Director Matt Foreman said in a press release. While proponents continue to organize around marriage ban ballot measures in several U.S. states, the Republican sponsors of the so-called federal marriage amendment told reporters this week that they wouldn't reintroduce the measure during the current congressional session. They admit that the Democratic majority in both houses would make passage impossible. While this is positive news, the task force's foreman wrote, it hardly erases the last 6 years of legislative and policy attacks our community has suffered under this administration. We look forward to working with the new, more fair-minded Congress to repair the hurt created by President Bush's disastrous domestic and international policies and to restore our nation's reputation as a society in which dignity, equality, and justice are available for all.
According to a press release issued by Poland's Helsinki Foundation for Human Rights, the European Court of Human Rights has agreed to hear a discrimination case challenging Warsaw Mayor Lech Kaczynski's ban of a scheduled June 2005 LGBT Pride March. Organizers filed an application for a city permit in May of that year to hold an equality parade, but the mayor denied the permit, citing traffic and security concerns. An illegal Pride March took place anyway on June 11th as an act of civil disobedience. The local government appeals board subsequently overturned the ban, but didn't rule on whether there had been civil rights violations. That led Pride organizers to aim their case in the Euro Court's direction. The complaint says that no citizen in a democratic country should be made to resort to acts of civil disobedience as the result of a politician's activity. A ruling is not expected for several months.
The Moss News website is reporting that Russian organizers are planning to take the Moscow city government to the Euro Court over its refusal to allow a May 27th Pride parade last year. The city government denied a permit, but LGBT people and their supporters marched anyway, only to be harassed and assaulted by religious fundamentalists and skinheads, which left at least one gay man beaten unconscious. Police arrested several anti-queer protesters, along with nearly 200 pride marchers. The Moscow city court dismissed the case late last year. Before heading to the Euro Court, however, organizer Nikolai Alexeyev said that there would be an appeal to the Russian Supreme Court. But an application to the European Court of Human Rights is now ready, he said, and is currently being assessed by legal experts.
A U.S. federal judge dismissed a freedom of speech lawsuit this week filed by members of a fundamentalist Christian group who were arrested while picketing a street festival during Philadelphia's Pride event last year. U.S. District Judge Lawrence Stengel noted that Outfest had received proper city permits for the street festival and that the evangelists had failed to apply for a permit to hold a counter-protest. The anti-queer demonstrators were nevertheless allowed to enter the downtown festival using bullhorns to preach their condemnation of homosexuality. Police officials tried moving them to several different locations within the area, but LGBT activists blowing whistles surrounded them each time. 11 demonstrators affiliated with a group called Repent America were arrested after they refused a police directive to move to yet another spot. Referring to the bullhorn-using protesters, Stengel wrote that there is no constitutional right to drown out the speech of another person. He granted summary judgment in favor of the city and co-defendant Philly Pride Presents, Inc. Repent America members told the Philadelphia Inquirer that they would appeal the ruling.
LGBT people are increasingly coming out to demand their rights in Kenya, leading some religious leaders to conclude that there's a surge of homosexuality in the country. According to a report in Nairobi's The Nation newspaper, lesbians and gay men stole the show at this week's World Social Forum held at the Moi International Sports Center in Kasarani. The gathering attracted about 50,000 delegates from all over the world. The paper called their booth at the forum a crowd puller. The Gay and Lesbian Coalition offered free tea and cookies and to provide visitors with lessons on lesbianism, gay relationships, and transsexuals.
But Muslim clerics in Mombasa held a press conference this week to condemn homosexuality, according to a report in Nairobi's East African Standard, and to urge Kenya's government not to legalize same-gender marriages, something that's not even on the legislative agenda in that country. Sheikh Mohammed Dour, Secretary General of the Council of Imams and Preachers of Kenya, or CIPK, said that the lesbian and gay contingent shouldn't have been allowed to attend the World Social Forum, especially because they were promoting marriage rights there. Dour asked why police had not arrested the group, considering that homosexuality is illegal in Kenya. The Muslim community is against homosexuality because the vice is ungodly, he said. Both the Quran and the Bible condemn the vice. He blamed homosexuality for the spread of HIV/AIDS, while another CIPK official, Sheikh Mohammed Khalifa, blamed the government, saying that although the law against homosexuality is clear, it's not being enforced. As a result, he charged, homosexuality has penetrated secondary schools, especially boarding ones. He condemned adults who influence youth to indulge in the vice.
Meanwhile, Transgender Europe, a new coalition of 66 transgender and transsexual organizations in 21 countries, was officially registered by Austrian authorities earlier this month. Chairperson Justus Eisfeld said, "This is a major milestone towards the recognition of the rights of transgender people. Now Transgender Europe can apply for funding and make our voices heard on an international level." The group plans to fight for legal recognition of the gender of trans people in the gender they live in, as well as non-discrimination in all aspects of life, equal access to health care, and social acceptance. For more information online, log on to tgeu.net.
And finally, the metrosexual mayor of Buenos Aires, Jorge Tellerman, has again told the city he's not gay. "I feel that homophobia is aberrant," he said in a recent interview with La Nación newspaper. "Even so, for those thinking about a dirty campaign against me, I'm sorry to say that I am not homosexual. But," he added, "every time I hear about anti-gay discrimination, I have the urge to say that I'm homosexual." Tellerman had earlier labeled himself afrancesado, which translates to Frenchified or foofy. "The word afrancesado just came out of me," he told La Nación, "and I never thought it would have the repercussions that it did. But it doesn't bother me. Even when my friends ask me if I'm gay, I laugh."
That's News Wrap for the week ending January 27th, 2007. Written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
This is Queer Voices.
And this is also pledge drive time.
Absolutely.
We're asking you to make a pledge to, and fulfill it also. So two things. And it's very easy to do. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. And operators are standing by. They go through it real quickly. They ask you a couple questions. You can put it on your credit card. We could send you a bill. There's all types of ways you can do it. You can make pay so much per month that we can automatically deduct, and it's just very easy. It probably takes about 90 seconds or less. I may ask you a few questions about what are your favorite programs, because unlike many other radio stations, we have a lot of different programs, and a lot of different programs that are on, you know, different subjects and different titles, and it all sort of works together, because this is all Pacifica Radio, and radio where you actually get to hear about the issues. And I was listening to a really interesting thing on the media, which isn't heard here in Houston. It's a WNYC production, and they were talking about some of the things that, well, for example, the station in Chicago, WBEZ, dropped all of their jazz programming. And what they're talking about is that they offer a lot more talk and information program, because you can't get that anywhere else. And in fact, the real jazz people, the people who are really into jazz, didn't really listen to the radio station, because they have that all on their iPod. They didn't like what was on the radio station for jazz. So,
oh my.
So what was really interesting is that we give you stuff you can't get anywhere else. That's the really important thing. You can't get this type of programming up and down the dial, especially if you go on the AM dial. And we really try to be critical. I mean, all of a sudden, the rest of the country came around and realized, you know, the problems with the Republicans and George Bush. Well, we at Pacifica knew that even before he went into office. Some of the things he pulled, and some of the things that, you know, if you have grandkids, they're going to be paying for the mistakes that this this president made.
Well, there's so many issues that are covered on Pacifica and its sister stations that you don't hear in the mass media. They don't talk about it. They'd rather talk about something that's going to make that afternoon time delay. And the fact is that we give the information here. And with the loss of the voice, Queer Voices is one of the places you can come to get some of the information and news of the community here in Houston.
So make that pledge. Call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. We're here. We do this program every week, and very rarely do we get preempted. In fact, we're here on holidays because we think it's important to do that. We have a whole crew here of about six different people volunteer to do this show, and none of us get paid for this. We all volunteer, and we try to put together, you know, Deborah does a great schedule. She puts together, she sort of contacts the guests and get them all, you know, ready. We try to do a lot of local segments, although we do some national segments too, because it's our community that we're really trying to cover.
There's so many times, you know, usually you won't get the political information. Many of us out in the community, we don't have the kind of information on politics, what's going on in the legislature, state legislature right now concerning
right.
our community.
Right.
You're not going to hear it. You'll hear that information on this station and on this show. You're going to hear where if there's something going on that we need to know about, the community needs to get energized about and do something, then you can hear it here on Pacifica.
So call us now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
Up on that guilty smelling skin. I'm more than somewhere.
That song was called Fallen, and it's by Sonia from her 1998 album, Almost Chocolate. And it's one of my favorites by her. And I'm very pleased to be interviewing Sonia this evening. But I need to say, I am not neutral about this artist. I've been playing her music for years. I've interviewed her before, and I've seen her perform many times. Over her career, she's released, I think, 10 albums, several of which have won awards. And I think she's terrific. She's got talent. She's got heart. And Sonia, welcome to Queer Voices.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And I just saw you last June.
Yes, yes, in New York.
Right, yeah, for the Album Music Awards. And while,
yeah,
while it's great to talk to you anytime, tonight we're talking to you because you're coming to Houston.
Yes, finally. Funny, I'm coming back to Houston.
Tell us about that.
We've got two concerts. We've got one on Friday night, and then we have another one on Saturday night. And I actually don't have the wherewithals right in front of me. I know it's at on our website, disappearfear.com. Do you have the information?
Yep. Well, I got the one Friday night because that's sponsored by our co-host, Deborah. It's a she does like a Diva House concert series. And
right.
Let me give the folks her email right off the bat. It's thedivadeb@yahoo.com, where you can email for information about the show. But the information is on Sonia's website. It's at a place called Super Happy Funland. And I've been there. I saw Trent Fury there. It's a nice venue. That's on Ashland Street in Houston, which is just off West 26th Street, about three blocks east of North Shepherd. So it's kind of in the Heights. It's not hard to find. And it's a small venue, and that means, I love that, because that means intimate.
Yeah, that means we all get to get real close.
There won't be a bad seat in the place, and the sound system's good.
Great.
So what's going to be new about this show that compared to other ones you may have done? Have you got new material?
Well, we'll see, because I haven't been there. But we're on tour. Laura and I have been. We left Baltimore on January 5th, went over to our first show was in Cleveland, and then the next night we were in Chicago, and then we were off to Kansas City, Liberty, Kansas, which is actually right near Kansas City, Missouri. And then we did a benefit concert in Fort Collins, Colorado, for my friends out there. So that was a Sonia Bawa honorary memorial concert. And then we made our way to Washington State and played some for Washington State, and then down to Portland and Eugene and did some shows in California. Anyway, we've had a couple days off, and I'm actually in Austin right now. Got a show in Austin Tuesday night, and I'm outside, gonna go into the Coliseum here to see the fray. So
this tour, over how many days or weeks is this tour you're talking about?
This one, just about 5 weeks, actually, because January is a bit of a longer month, and we get almost an extra 5 days in January. Mm-hmm. So we have it started on the 5th, and I'm back in Baltimore for our last concert of this thing, of this tour, which is February 8th in Sykesville, Maryland. And then I'm going to enjoy, I think, Atlantic City with my sweetheart on Valentine's Day, and then we're off to do a little, then we're back actually on the road to do Nashville and Memphis and Atlanta. We're doing a Southeast thing, taking us into the beginning of March. But everything is at disappearfear.com on our website if people are listening from different places and stuff and want to, or tell a friend or something. So
right.
I was so excited to hear the song that you just did. I just recorded that song completely in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for the new CD. We've been working. That's the other thing we did before we did this tour, is we think we've completed a brand new CD of 13 songs, many of which are in Spanish, some in Hebrew, some in Arabic. And a bit of English here and there to just sort of have the glue it all together.
So that was one of my questions. I knew you were working on a new one, and it was about ready. I was going to ask, how is it different? Well, it's in different languages.
Yes, absolutely. It's really a world CD as opposed to, I guess what you could say what I was doing is more Americana, with either a country edge or a rock edge or a pop edge, sort of depending on the instrumentation, you know, what was sort of turning me on at the time. Like the CD that you were just playing from, that was mostly just me and guitar. That was a very fun CD to make. But it was just, it was like I just wanted to, it to be very pure. So it's like, you know, 90% of my voice and my guitar, and then a little bit of other arrangements, like a little bit of Cindy singing here and there and that sort of thing. But this new one, I'm very, very excited about. We took old, some older songs that I had done, like Fallen, which is Cayendo in Spanish, and then I wrote some new songs, of course, as well.
Now, you mentioned Cindy. Cindy's your sister, and
yes.
The two of you were originally in, you originally Disappear Fear. And
yes.
When did y'all form that act?
Well, I gotta tell you, we formed it October 10th, 1987.
Okay.
When we were each 3 years old. No.
Of course. Of course. So you
not
did
at all, not
you
at
had
all.
A number
but,
of releases.
Yeah, that was one of my first album was Echo My Call, and that came out in 88 on our own label. And we've been, you know, and then it was only 2 years ago, really, that I reformed Disappear Fear with me and Laura, and actually other musicians too. But the core of it is the solid duo of me and Laura. That seems to be the best standing form for Disappear Fear.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Sonia, about the evolution to using the name Disappear Fear again. How did that come about?
Well, when truly it really just came from my heart, which is not probably the smartest thing as far as marketing goes, because when I went from Disappear Fear, because when Cindy left the band, I continued on, you know, with Disappear Fear. We had toured the CD, Seed in the Sahara, that we had just done, but it was in 98 that I just decided to go under my own name, and so my label, Philo, said, well, no one knows who Sonia is, so we have to call you Sonia of Disappear Fear, so that the name Disappear Fear would still appear on the cover of mm-hmm. the CD, and there'd be a smoother transition for, you know, placement of the CDs in the stores, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so we, that became my name, Sonia of Disappear Fear, and that was really just, when I say it was from my heart, it was like I wanted to only it to be Disappear Fear when I was performing with the harmonies, you know, with Cindy or you know, that sort of thing. And I sort of kept it to be Disappear Fear when I had a full arrangement and she was joining me more. And, you know, or a band. So, and every year that she's been away, which is 10 now, I would be, oh, you know, like, do you think you can come back? Do you think she's, oh, yeah, yeah. So she's always flown in to record with on my CDs, my studio CDs. And she, of course, made guest appearances on the last CD that we did, DF05 Live at Kerrville. But, then she just said, you know, just go do Disappear Fear, do everything. You know, Laura is a great singer, and that's so with her blessing, I reformed Disappear Fear, and calling it Sonia and Disappear Fear, so that the Sonia fans don't lose the continuity of that, but we get the name Disappear Fear in there too.
Well, tell us about the name Disappear Fear. How did that come about, or has that meaning changed to you?
Well, it actually becomes more vivid every day. Disappear Fear was just an idea, two words together, that I came up with when I was working. I used to work for a rape crisis center in Baltimore City, and it was at the time it was called the Baltimore Center for Victims of Sexual Assault, and they were looking for a new name. And I came up with the Disappear Fear Center, thinking that when you disappear fear, what you do is you gain yourself back. You gain your triumph over your life back. So this was an original idea. And then they didn't take the name. They went with SARC, Sexual Assault Recovery Center. So I had it written on a little post in my desk, and I would see it. And I would think how applicable disappearing fear was, that when you disappear fear, the essence of which is that when you disappear fear between people, what you have is love. And that's the essence of my music. Every song, really under the umbrella of all my writing for my music is about that. And so it's important, I think, to keep that in the, you know, that's a good banner. So it's the concept and it's also the reality. When I performed in Israel this summer during the war, I had to really live into my words because I was going into an area where there was a lot of bombs. And, you know, that was, but but I needed to come forth with what the essence of my music is, and I did, and I'm glad. I really had to make my words stand up behind my words, you know what I mean?
Well, I know that, in your music, you've never shied away from politics, and I knew you went to Israel. I get your newsletters. Why was that trip important to you?
We're so far away, you know. I go to a protest, you know. We sign the zillions of petitions that we get from Move On or Used to Be or ACT UP or Code Pink or all the things that we do, and we show up and we light candles. But I think so many people feel so far removed, and does their voice even make a difference? And I know that each of our voices make a difference, and I'm only one, you know, woman with a guitar. But I needed to bring my guitar and my voice to that little country that's so torn. And it felt very good to do that. And I encourage people to follow their hearts. I think we need to follow what it is that we believe in and not get held back by the fear that we're, so to speak, bombarded with. That's really where the power is, and I encourage people to do that, you know, just to step out and step into what you believe. That's where the real, you know, love of life, lust for life is.
Well, tell me, I've met Laura, you're a drummer and your backup vocalist. I know how talented she is, but tell our listeners about Laura.
She's amazing. Her name is full name is Laura Cerulli, and she's originally from California, and has grown up most of her life, I think, in the Maryland area, near the water. And she's amazing. People come up to her after the show and just go, "How can you do all of that?" She's got both feet moving, all her hands moving. She plays with hands and with different sticks.
And she's funny,
and
too.
And she sings, yes, and she's hysterical. She's great. And she's great grounding for me, too, because I'm an air sign. I think I'm a little bit above the ground, probably a little bit too often. And she's Taurus, and she's real rooted, and she's like, really digs in. So we're good balance for each other. And she believes in what we're doing very, very much. She's quite the trooper.
We're getting near the end of the segment, but I want to close the segment with the song No Bomb Is Smart, and I wanted you to talk about that just for a couple moments.
Sure. No Bomb Is Smart. Well, I just kept hearing on television as they were getting all the people of our country ready to attack and to sell us on this great idea of the Iraq War, and I was just so over it. And they kept talking about smart bombs, and what is smart about any bomb? Nothing. You know, we're taught to love each other and get along, and so that would then we start to with the situation with the Iraq War. So much of our tax dollars are going to this war that's not even. Doesn't even make sense on any level. So anyway, I was very tired with this expression, and I just said, so I wanted to say that no bomb is smart, and put that into a song where I could repeat it a lot of times.
It's the title of your...
I guess that's sort of convoluted, but that's it. It's a brief history of the United States.
And it's the title of your latest album.
Yes.
And it's been remixed several times. So that song's getting around.
Yeah, well, we did the remix, and in Hebrew it's Ein Pitzata Chachama, which means no bomb. It sounds like no pizza, but that means no bomb is smart in Hebrew.
Okay. Remind our listeners about your website again, please.
Yes, it's disappearfear.com, and we also have a Sonia and Disappear Fear MySpace thing, you know, website as well, with dates and information. We've got a slideshow up there, I think, from our cruise that we did. We did a carnival cruise in December down to Cozumel and Grand Cayman, and that was a lot of fun. And there's fun and funky pictures from that on there. And Disappear Fear is spelled with one S and two P's. I don't know why. And I hope that people in Houston will come and enjoy our music on Friday. and Saturday.
And let me remind them of at least of the Friday night date. Again, it's at Super Happy Fun Land. Get information by emailing thedivadeb@yahoo.com, and that's our diva. And it's on Ashland Street in the Heights. It's at 7:30 p.m. It's a good show. I know I will be there. And y'all go to the Sonia's website for that information and all about also the Saturday evening show. And
yes.
Sonia, we thank you for joining us at Queer Voices, and we're going to go out with No Bomb is Smart.
Thank you, Davey. Thanks for giving me the opportunity, and love to Deb, too.
Sure. See you Friday.
Okay. Bye.
Across a great big, this land is your land. And it's two more cracks across the backs, cause this land was my land. And it's my time to sing now. I'm singing real loud, cause I'm not gonna watch this silently in pain. And I'm not gonna let this earth go down the drain. All the public transit tracks, so there was no way for us to get back home. Had to buy a car to get to town. Make sure that the bus station's all run down. But it's my time to sing now. I'm singing real loud, cause I'm not gonna watch this silently in pain. And I'm not gonna let this earth go down the drain. They miscounted the votes. Your brother said no pretzel choice, so you won't choke. How could a coup like this happen in America? Easily, that's what the brother said. I already told ya. It's not about good guys, not about bad guy or brains of brain. Don't ask me why. But if I am me and you are we and we're all freedom in democracy, then it's hypocrisy to keep pushing us apart. No bomb is smart. No bomb is smart. When I'm lying on the back of a tin-ton truck in Yucca Mountain, safe and quiet as a nuclear bomb in Chernobyl Fountain. Birthday with 52 bombers. CNN, how can you glorify this drama? Have you noticed that America's on fire? Fueled by the high octane Bush bang bang empire. Oh. It's not about good guy, and it's not about bad guy or brains of brain. Don't ask me why. Democracy, and it's hypocrisy to keep pushing us apart. No fun is smart.
This is J.D. Doyle, and again, that was Sonia of Disappear Fear with No Bomb is Smart, the title of her 2005 CD. And please come by Super Happy Funland Friday night at 7:30 to see her.
This is Queer Voices.
And this is the time to pick up the phone and call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. And let's check out in the lobby to see if we got anybody to thank. It is Pledge Drive here at KPFT, and where else can you hear that type of interview like you just heard JD do of an artist coming to town that's going to do queer music here in Houston? We do all types of different interviews, talk about all different types of issues here in the community, and especially now that we don't have a weekly newspaper, and especially now that this is your radio station, and you help support the type of programming that you can't get anywhere else. So we're asking you to make that pledge. Pledge now. And there's all different types of levels and all different types of thank yous that you can get by pledging to KPFT. And especially if you have not pledged ever before or you have not pledged in a long time. You know, we'll give you amnesty, you know, here on KPFT. And of course, in reality is you have amnesty all the time because we're on the dial. You know, it's not pay per play. You've got the, you know, the stations there. But we're asking you to pick up your share to support KPFT. Call us now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Lobby's quiet, huh? Well, all right, we'll move on then. John Etchman is here with us, and he started this group called Pom Pom, which is a group is called People Opposing to Moving the Parade Out of Montrose. Let's talk a little bit about how you came. Well, first of all, let's give some background here. The Pride Houston, which is the people who put on the parade and the festival every year and also coordinate a lot of other events that happen in June to commemorate Stonewall. And I'm a founder of that organization, so I'm not always totally unbiased, but I really was trying to keep an open mind on this. In fact, I've actually supported a lot of the ideas of what they were what the committee was trying to do. However, after the last big meeting, which was about 3 weeks ago on Saturday, it appears that most of the community wasn't involved in that decision, or a lot of the organizations had no idea that this was going on. So, John, you started a group called Pom Pom.
Well, it wasn't just me, but we decided we needed to come up with a group to at least make Pride understand that they're significant. I think actually a strong majority of the community that's opposed to moving the parade, both from its current date and especially from its home in the Montrose to the downtown area.
And why is that? Why do you feel that?
Well, we had a meeting on January 11th, I think it was. It was before the meeting where Pride considered community views. As far as I know, I think that's about the third or fourth meeting Pride has done on this. And at least the two I've been a part of, there's been significant opposition to the move. But we had a meeting on that night, and we developed a whole list of reasons why we believe the parade should stay in Montrose, why it should not move to downtown. You know, among them, there are many reasons, but among them, you know, the Pride Board has, and Carol Wyatt, the president of the board, has expressed that the Houston community is very diverse. We're all over the place, and there's no question of that. We're in every zip code of Houston. We're in every precinct of Houston. But there's one place we can all call home, and that's Montrose. There's one place where our businesses tend to congregate and be located, and that's Montrose. It's not downtown. In fact, I can't think right now of really any business in downtown that I would call GLBT oriented that really does a strong job of trying to, you know, attract GLBT customers. Our community is in Montrose, and that's where our parade is, and that's where it needs to stay.
What about the argument that some other organizations like the Gay Men's Course or the Bunnies on the Bayou Party, that happens downtown?
Sure. The Bayou, you know, there is no Bayou going through Montrose, so that may be one reason. But, you know, Jones Hall is a great setting for the Gay Men's Chorus. We simply don't have anything that large in Montrose. If we did, I have a strong feeling they would have stayed in Montrose. I've seen where they've talked about some of the rallies, for example, after the same-sex marriage decision, after the Lawrence decision took place in downtown. I was very honored to be one of the speakers at both of those events.
But let's be honest, there wasn't a very big crowd at either of those
exactly.
events.
No, there wasn't. We all talked about that it was just the crowd was incredibly small. And when I talked to people afterwards, everybody said, if it had been in Montrose, we would have gone. But being in downtown, it's just not our home, you know?
Well, and as I've been behind doing the parade for many years, the parade does work in Montrose. I mean, it's a little bit tight, but everything that we do at the parade, from the lineup, they know us. The neighborhood knows us. The route works. The curve around Montrose, where you really see all the people. And for a number of the years, there was a something over Montrose and Westheimer, whether it was a chandelier or a mirror ball, and that all works. And now, you know, on the other hand, the festival, it's difficult to make that work. But then again, Houston has never really had a successful festival. I mean, a really successful festival. And, you know, we're sort of way behind the other cities. So there's an argument there about, well, you know, maybe the facilities downtown are a little bit better.
And you know, that's one of the really amazing things about Pride, how certain cities develop a certain character, how this parade reflects our neighborhood of Montrose, and how Houston has attached itself to the parade. I did do some research on this and looked and saw how a lot of cities, many of the top 10 cities in the country, the festival is huge. And maybe one day it will be here in Houston as well. But right now, I don't find much of a feeling among the community to embrace the festival as it is. Maybe a different date for that would work. In fact, if I could do my little Johnny Cochran as an attorney,
let's all get together.
I would say that, you know, if you're going to test, then move the fest. You know, maybe try moving the festival to September and see if that works. See if the city's going to support that. See if the community's going to support it. But before you move something as precious as the parade that belongs to this community, that is a absolute outgrowth of this community, you know, don't do something like that and risk what could entail. And in fact, you know, there are a lot of possible risks that could happen should that take place. See if the festival works, maybe, because, you know, right now you're right. I mean, there are limitations to what the festival could be in the Montrose area.
Well, my concern was is that, and I'm not privy to all the ins and outs of the plan, but the limitation on the participants in the parade. The parade, you know, began with just our community saying we're proud and we're going to take to the street and march in our parade in celebration of Stonewall. And from what I'm understanding, they want to limit who can, in fact, walk in the parade.
And some think that's a possibility. I don't know if I've seen actual words saying we're going to limit. I do know that the questionnaire that was on the survey that was on the Pride website, I mean, it had some question about would you be, I can't remember the exact wording, would you be opposed if we put all the nonprofits onto like one float or something like that? And if I was one of the nonprofits in this area, those groups like Montrose Counseling Center and the Community Center and AFH and so many of the organizations that have been just absolute the blood and soul of this community, I'd be very frightened to see that type of question on that survey. I mean, it makes you think that there is an effort to basically turn this into some, you know, parade of corporations and conglomerates, when this has always been a parade of, and every Pride parade I'm aware of has been a parade of the community. It's not been a parade that's been out to try to entice the whole world to come to the city. It's been a chance for people to come and see that city and see their community in action and to come and be a part of it. And that's what this community is. It's a time for the rest of Houston and those who want to come to Houston for this parade, as thousands and thousands every year do, to come and see our neighborhood and to see our place, the place that we've called home for years.
Well, and I have to amplify that. The reality is that I was always proud that we had this incredible diversity, everything from the drag community, the leather community, the trans community, you know, and at times we had the bisexual group in there, and they just haven't been coming around, you know, as a group themselves to the parade, but it was open. It was open to everybody. And it somehow always seemed to about 125 to 135 units, it just sort of like that was it. It just worked up to that. And, you know, there were rules on there about no alcohol and no nudity. You just had to pretty much follow the law of the city and the state about what you can expose. And that's pretty much, you know, what was it? And safety. Safety was a concern, but I was always very proud of the diversity of what it was, from the corporations like Budweiser to the banks to the groups like the Lesbian Health Initiative, and you know, just the, you know, and last year we had a high school group,
well,
which
sure.
was just, you know, and every year there was sort of something like new added. There was the police department one year, mm-hmm. the mayor, you know. Mm-hmm. And that really brought the diversity of the community out there. And what was amazing, though, this was never staged, but when one of these new groups came across the reviewing stand, like this past year, the students group, everybody just got up and gave them a standing ovation.
Sure.
And the year, the first year the cops were there as a unit, standing ovation. And the first year the mayor showed up. It was just, and that's, you know, what this parade is about. And, you know, and every organization, though, does have to every once in a while step back and say, okay, we need to look at a five-year plan. And we're, you know, what's it going to be like in the future? Because everything has to change. I mean, look at newspapers. Newspapers are starting to die and everybody's getting nervous about that. Yet it's still the best source of information in most cities. So, I commend the Pride Houston committee to look at that, but I think they really missed the boat in talking to the people that are very much have, you know, involved in the community, the organizations. So what do we do from here?
You're exactly right in everything you say, Jack, and you know, under your stewardship, you managed to make that combination work every year, and we always saw you do it, and it needs to stay that way. I mean, this needs to be a celebration of our community. And again, I mean, I'm the biggest homer in the world. I love Houston. I've been here for 35 years, have had chances to live all over the world, and I would never live anywhere but Houston. But downtown does not deserve this parade right now. Maybe in the future, you know, maybe in the future it will be ready. When we start seeing downtown show pride and pride, that may be a very doable thing in the future, but that's not here right now. Let's see what downtown does with regard to supporting this community. I would really love to see the Pride Board consider doing more in terms of working with the many, many different organizations here. Consider other events. Not that they have to work to make them happen, but at least show support for them. I hear that they want to bring in more ethnic groups and people of color. And as a person of various colors, you know, I want to see that. You know, support a Latino pride at some part of the year. Support the African-American community with Splash Day. I hear, you know, I saw where Carol White has mentioned several times that she wants to see a commitment ceremony on the steps of City Hall. You know, we have that already. The Foundation for Family, for the, gosh, it's my law partner who runs this too. Jerry Simino, that supports the Freedom to Marry Day. They have a week of celebrations that take place in February, an amazing event. Support that. Show that Pride supports that. You know, going on websites today of all the biggest Pride organizations in this country, I saw organizations that support the businesses, that push the history of the community. And by the way, of the 10 largest cities in the country, every single one of them has their celebration in the community. Not outside of it, not just in a downtown area. Some of them go from downtown, but either end up in the community or go through it. Not a single one is outside of the community, and there's all 10 of them right there. You know, let's see Pride support other events during the year, and then have the big culmination, this thing that has become so important to this city and this community, the one event that brings thousands of people here in the summertime, that we all look forward to, that's a week of joyous celebration for our businesses and for our community, our Pride Parade. Make it stay in June.
Well, and it was real interesting. A week ago Sunday, the Chronicle did an editorial that also basically said that it should stay in Montrose, and it gave two examples. One is that, you know, Martin Luther King, there's two different celebrations, and we really hope that that doesn't happen to Pride here.
Yeah.
And the other thing was that the International Festival moved their event to Reliant parking lot, basically, down in the Astroworld area.
Collapsed.
And it was, and I sort of think that they did that to sort of like, you know, blackmail the city in a sense. And of course, that year that they did it, the weather was also terrible, but basically it was a disaster. So they brought it back downtown, and what everybody loved about it is that that works downtown. That's always sort of had the roots of being downtown with the skyscrapers and, you know, the weather in the spring and the fall is really nice when they do it in the spring. It works very well. And, you know, the other event that used to happen here in the community was the Westheimer Colony Arts Festival. And that event basically got moved out of Montrose and it completely changed. And I mean, it's really great, but it's not the event it used to be.
Yeah.
And then there was a splinter group who sort of did that and it ended up not working very well in a number of reasons.
Well, the one thing to remember, too, and it's just my opinion, that's all I have, is the fact that, you know, moving downtown, moving out of our community, I mean, this is the heart of the GLBT community.
And
this is the heart that beats still. When the police were beating us, we lived here.
Mm-hmm.
And now they stopped. But this is where the heart is, and I think it needs to stay there. This is a city who wants to embrace us downtown and maybe the convention center, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. the convention and tourist bureau wants to, but yet we have no protection for public accommodations, housing, employment. I'm sorry, why doesn't our city, the third largest city in the country, stand up and say they support us?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, a lot of what I feel about this is that, for example, if I go, you know, I've never even seen the Pride Parade listed on the yearly list of events from the City of Houston's Visitors Bureau until this year.
Yes, interesting
until
that you said
year.
That. I just got an email from somebody at the Convention and Visitors Bureau that they're putting an ad together that are listing some of the main GLBT events, and of course the Pride Parade is one of them, and the Bunny Party and the Jungle Party is listed there. And of course, they also put the 4th of July, which really isn't a GLBT event, but they are really pushing that event.
You know, the 4th of July, they're really pushing it.
Yes, they are, Houston. Yes, because that's a city-sponsored event in downtown, in Buffalo Bayou Park. So that's all there. So now, what we understand from Pride Houston is that they have backed away from making a decision until the August board meeting, that we don't have a schedule when that's going to be, but they had made a commitment that by mid-July we would know when that meeting is. So, but at the same time, Carol Wyatt, who is president of Pride Houston, just sent out to her list a long and detailed in her social notes about why it should be moved without really giving any reason why it shouldn't be moved. So, you know, I guess, where are we now? You know, are they acting neutral or are they still pushing to move it?
Well, I certainly don't know about the board itself, but Ms. Wyatt is definitely not acting neutral. I mean, that post from her social notes, which I've read, would make anybody believe that, I mean, it's certainly within her mind that this is going to move. I mean, there's no question. Anyone who reads that would have to believe that's the case. And she puts forth a lot of reasons. In fact, she actually is quite dismissive of all of the points that we came forth with from our meeting of pom-pom. She does put forth a lot of possible reasons for why a festival might be a success. Again, a reason why I would say, again, if you're going to try to test this, see what the festival does, you know, before you move the parade and do irreparable damage to the parade, to what the community is. And again, another stab in the heart of Montrose. That's what drives me crazy about this, Jack and Jennifer. I cannot stand this issue of, like, there just seems to be this effort to try to kill Montrose, to make it just like every other neighborhood in any other city. Montrose has developed an amazing character. It is such a resilient neighborhood. It comes back from everything, no matter what the legislature does to try to divide this community, no matter what politicians do to divide this community, no matter the city's lack of support for our GLBT community in this in the Montrose area, Montrose always comes back. And it will. You know, no matter what they do, it will come back. I mean, you know, there's already talk of a possible alternative parade should they move this one.
So what is Pom Pom doing, and how can we get a hold of you?
Well, because we're a very informal organization, you can certainly, if you can reach me at my office at 713-227-1717, or you can email me at jn@nsflaw.us, and I'll add you to our mailing list. We plan to have a entry in the parade this year. I may be the world's ugliest cheerleader with pom-poms, with looking like Margaret Cho with a goatee, but we are planning to be in this parade, and we're going to make sure the message is out there to everybody who is at the parade that we want this parade to stay in Montrose where it belongs. I would love for this group at some point to morph into an organization that shows a recommitment to Montrose as the GLBT heart of this community, to revitalize this community, to bring it back, to make sure that the efforts to, you know, just turn Montrose into another blended mix of everything that doesn't have the character that it now does, doesn't take place.
And John Netchman, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
So Pom Pom is the people trying to keep the parade in Montrose, and we'll keep you up to date on that because we'll be talking about both sides of this issue. You're listening to KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Well, we're through our first hour here on Queer Voices, and let's check out in the lobby and see if we have anybody to thank. We have real phones out there, so they actually ring like the old-fashioned telephones. Lobby? It's actually off. It's real quiet out there, in fact.
They just don't want to talk to us. I think they don't.
Actually, we do have a couple of people
Hello.
To thank.
We do?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us.
Okay. Ernesto, go ahead.
Good evening.
Hey, Ernesto, you have a couple of people to thank.
I do.
And I've got a couple of people here, so go ahead.
Yeah, I want to go ahead and send a big thank you out to Jim out in Houston, and I believe you may have the other slip with you right in that studio.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the other person is David, and David is doing something interesting. His total amount of pledge is $35, but he's sending in $10 a month. So keep that in mind if you want to.
So play. I guess we'll be doing it for 2.5 months, 3.5 months.
Something like that.
So our goal is $900. So we're nowhere near that. We're really asking you to pick it up, get it start going, move forward. You know, I know it's 9 o'clock at night, but there's still lots of people out there listening. I mean, this is a community where we have a population of 4.3 million people in the metropolitan area. And so certainly there are people out there listening who probably never pledged before. And not only supporting Queer Voices, but supporting all the different types of programming here on KPFT, the diversity from music to cultural events to the, you know, Democracy Now!, which is an incredible program that we're very proud of being on Pacifica. Besides, Pacifica has a brand new website if you haven't been to it. It just looks really great. And it lists all the shows that are going on at all the five different radio stations that Pacifica runs across the country. And actually, each radio station is really very much locally run. That's the incredible thing because, and you've been listening to Bill Moyers on Democracy Now! Talking about all the media combining and how bad it's getting and the fact that, you know, there was a train wreck up in the city in North Dakota where none of the stations even had a live person there, so they never got the word out about the chemical leak. KPFT, we have somebody here 24 hours a day. We do different, you know, and almost a lot of our programming, a majority of our programming is locally produced. And you go to some of the other commercial stations, and that's not true. They pretty much just get it all off the satellite. And it's national. It's not local. And you listen to some of the, other radio stations. Are they covering City Hall? You know, no, they're not. We do that. We do that the best we can. We don't have all the resources some of the other radio stations do, but we do the best we can. And we've got some incredibly passionate people that volunteer here at KPF. And we hope that you appreciate them by calling us up at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
And we have another person to thank. In fact, every pledge drive that we do, we get enormous contributions from Anonymous.
Yes, very good.
Thank you again, Anonymous.
Anonymous gave us $90 this time.
Fabulous.
Thank you, thank you.
Fabulous.
Oh, and also, as I like to mention during each pledge drive, there are volunteers here on this side of the microphone, and there are volunteers there on that side of the microphone. Those of you who listen to our programming and make it all worthwhile for us to do all of this. And you also contribute not only by listening, but by calling and pledging your support to KPFT and to all the wonderful programming that we do, including this program. So please do that now at 713-526-5738. And
let's go to This Way Out.
Okay, actually, what we're going to do is we're going to go to the rest of today's This Way Out while we're waiting for the other one to queue up.
Okay, great.
Stay tuned to hear about an early 20th century lesbian who ruined medical practice by promoting too much health. And the Gospel According to Levi rises from the ashes on the journey of a wordsmith later in the program. This Way Out commentator Janet Mason has a keen eye for a good read, but this time she's come across something that really carried her away, and she thinks it'll do the same for you.
I met the author, Damien McNichol, at a bar where we were both giving a reading. Even as literary readings in bars go, this one was not a good one. In addition to the thick smoke and clinking glasses, there was a thump, thump, thump of a sound system that someone could not turn off, as I recall, and the chatter was not kept to a minimum. Still, as poets and writers of fiction, we trooped on. Before the ill-fated reading, Damien and I had a nice chat and exchanged books, as authors often do. What I realized later was that Damien had not really given me a book. He had instead handed me a world. A world that, once I opened it, gripped me page by page and would not release me until, drying my eyes, I came to the end. A Son Called Gabriel, published by the New York-based CDS Books, is Damien McNichol's first novel, and it is a gripping story of a boy who grows up to be gay and intellectual in working-class Ireland. The writing is stellar. The story is ancient and universal, one of belonging and not belonging, of forever being an outsider in your own world, and of the need to find the home that exists only inside of yourself. This book, Sense, Pick of the Year, opens in 1964 when the young Gabriel is six and refusing to go to school because the class bully, a lad named Henry Lynch, will not leave him alone. He hated me because I wasn't interested in playing football with him and the other boys. Where was the fun in chasing a ball around a mucky field, I wondered. I preferred playing stuck in the muck with the senior girls. Even though they were 8, 9, and 10, I was every bit as fast as them. And stuck in the muck wasn't just a girl's game, like Henry kept saying. You had to be every bit as fast and skillful as footballers in order to avoid the person playing the jailer. Otherwise, she tagged and set a body into the jail corner. By the end of the book, Gabriel is in his final year at St. Malachy's, an Irish Catholic school that is a cut above the rest, that Gabriel tested into and struggles through, and is applying to universities in England, where he is destined and determined to find his freedom by crossing the water to escape the confines of faith and family. The book is peopled with siblings and cousins, his mother with whom he has a wrenching relationship, a distant father, a grandmother, a deceased grandfather who influences the family, and an elusive and mysterious uncle who is also, perhaps not unpredictably, since every good Irish family must have one, a priest. In Ireland, religion is something more than what the narrator accuses his mother of ramming down his throat. It is literally war. In between the span between being a boy and a young man, McNichol explores the fierce animosity between the Catholics and the Protestants, known as the Prods, and the accompanying class differences. I loathe the way Father referred to rich people as big people. Knockburn people always refer to wealthy people as big people, and in so doing, subconsciously categorize themselves as little people. Gabriel, as a boy, is acutely sensitive and also deeply religious. His budding sexuality is all at once a source of shame as well as pleasure, agony as well as ecstasy. In his preteen through his teen years, Gabriel shares his secret sexual life and often in a bed with his slightly older friend, Connor. When the older boy, who has also become sexual with girls, becomes concerned that he may have turned Gabriel into a, quote, homo, he decides to call it quits. Getting up from the bed that they have shared for the last time, Gabriel longs for an encounter with God, and in the writing, in the portrayal of his struggle, his words become incantation, religion. I switched on the light, looked at my face in the mirror, and despised the image gawking back at me in the stark brightness. Falling on my knees before the toilet bowl, I knelt and tore at my hair as I prayed and beseeched God to come and help me. I prayed and beseeched for 10 minutes, making up the prayers and pleas as I went along. And he came, just like he'd come to me so long ago. He was my maker, my one true friend. He came in his soothingly masculine voice, spoke inside my head. He stopped the whirling thoughts. He told me that I was good, that I was not to be so hard on myself, that I was his child. I was his child, and if I was careful and changed my ways, I would not end up a homosexual. Having met the author and been taken in by his gentle manner and Irish brogue, I am tempted to want to know how much of his novel is autobiographical, especially since the story is so emotionally convincing. Recent popular distraction aside, however, I know that this doesn't really matter. The important thing about A Son Called Gabriel is that it is a story worth telling, and also a story worth picking up and reading until the final page has been turned to its new beginning. With commentary on queer literature and life, this is Janet Mason for This Way Out.
Josephine Baker saves the children, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Josephine Baker was born in New York in 1873. Tragically, her three siblings died during their childhood. In 1898, she graduated from medical school. Determined to keep Victorian views of women from limiting her ambitions, she dressed in masculine suits. She came to prominence with her historic breakthroughs in preventative medicine while serving as the first director of New York City's Bureau of Child Hygiene. Her pilot programs on child hygiene, maternal education, and midwife training helped drastically reduce the mortality rates of children under five. Fellow physicians petitioned the mayor, saying her work, quote, ruined medical practice by its results in keeping babies well. Josephine wrote she was profoundly grateful for the compliment. She spent the rest of her life as an advocate for children, with support from her female partners and a legion of feminist friends. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Mary Gay Hutcherson.
You're listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine, brought to you by you.
So you don't want to miss a week of This Way Out's global news or great music by openly LGBT artists, hearing about a new movie even before the buzz begins, getting on-scene coverage of important news as it's happening, or queer historic sounds from our archives? The answer is a subscription to This Way Out. You can get our programs on great-sounding CDs or audio cassettes delivered right into your mailbox, and for less than a newspaper subscription. For easy how-to information, simply email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us for more information at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. Our audio bio team celebrates a special occasion with the musicians behind two personal Odyssey albums and a debuting band from Baltimore.
I never thought I was one of the lucky ones. Put my heart in a place that it didn't belong. Well, I guess you never find it if you never try. God knows I must have tried about a million times. And as soon as I shed love out of my life, finally you found me. And now
Gospel According to Levi is the second studio album by Levi Christ, and its name really fits. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. This month marks our 10th anniversary, so we've invited back our original co-producer, Pam Marshall.
Thanks, Chris. We found the new album by Levi Christ to be very radio-friendly, and he explains how it's also a musical milestone for him.
Well, one review I've gotten already has said that the album is hook-driven and genre-bending, and I love that. But what is neat to me is that, finally, here's a project that where I've allowed myself to confront the issues presented to me by my history with the church. And hopefully, it's as much loving as it is confrontational, but certainly this album allows me to put the past to bed.
You said he was late. We'll be right back.
find out more about Levi Christ and the Gospel According to Levi at www.levichrist.com. That's www.levichrist.com.
The Damsels are a band from the Baltimore area, and their debut CD is called Ashes. Are shared by Rachel and her partner Sabrina, who tells us their album is a smorgasbord of styles.
Our debut CD, Ashes, is a unique blend of blues, rock, country, jazz, and punk. We have a good mix of solid vocal harmony. We consist of two lesbians and a straight guy drummer with a lesbian heart.
Living and loving and learning for all, the heart is too big in the life to solve. Forget the majority and the minority, let's end up in due priority.
You can get more information about the Damsels and their album Ashes at www.thedamsels.net.
The second album by Terry Christopher is called Journey of a Wordsmith.
My new CD is a 15-song set of pop rock, blue-eyed soul with a little kiss of R&B in it. It's based in organic guitar arrangements that sort of address lyrically the day-to-day struggles, successes, and failures that we all encounter on our own individual journey.
Terry Christopher and the CD Journey of a Wordsmith at www.terrychristopher.com.
That's it for our 10th anniversary edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiofile.org.
Audiophile is produced by J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum. And our 10th anniversary guest producer this month is Pam Marshall. I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm Pam Marshall.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Tanya Kane Perry, John Beaupre, Rex Walker with Phil Kelly, Graham Underhill, Janet Mason, Judd Proctor and Brian Burns with Mary Gay Hutcherson, and Chris Wilson, Pam Marshall, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out anytime, exclusively at outinamerica.com. You can also click on the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Most This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from you, our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep this program on the air and choose from some very special CD thank you gifts, too. To sign up for our weekly emailed program information messages and or our occasional This Way Out updates, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on Jump FM, Powell River, British Columbia, KVSC, St. Cloud, Minnesota, WOMR, Provincetown, Massachusetts, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we're all going to stay tuned.
KPFT is non-commercial, it provides an opportunity for unique music, longer stories, and intriguing documentaries. Being non-commercial says more about the philosophy of community radio and the mission upon which it's founded, which is to provide a forum and debate that serves the community first rather than commercial interests. And because of this, KPFT also declared that it would get its funding from listeners. Radical 35 years ago, radical today. But it's working because listeners like you have come forward. Now community radio is one of the most trusted and listened to news services in the country. It's time for the next generation to inherit these values and choose to become a member. That's what these pledge drives are for. So just pick up the phone and call 713-526-5738 or pledge online at kpft.org. This is KPFT Houston.
And JD, we got bitten by the bad CD player.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. But before we got bit, you were listening to Nomaly Brennett, a transgendered artist out of Arizona who I think is wonderful. That was the title track from her CD, Chrysanthemum. And I guess we're gonna pitch some more, Jack.
Yes,
we need a new CD player.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Obviously.
Call in. And maybe we need some new more host or something, you know?
We talk fine.
Yeah, we talk fine. Well,
they're just not dialing out there.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. This is KPFT, of course. It's the Pacifica Foundation radio station here in Houston, Texas. It's one of the five, and one of the five stations that does some incredible programming. Sometimes not so good, sometimes really incredible. Very unpredictable, and sometimes you hear stuff that you just won't hear anywhere else because the people come in and program the station. They allow us to do a program here once a week for 2 hours. They don't tell us who to, you know, we should have on or who we shouldn't have on. They trust us to have a guest on. Maybe they trust us too much sometimes. But the reality is that we've been here. There's been queer programming on KPFT almost from the beginning, almost from 1970, a few years after. Actually, and various different Wildenstein, then originally gay and lesbian, or lesbian and gay voices, then queer voices, and of course, After Hours has been on for
a
long time.
A long time, yes,
something like that.
Yes. And, you know, so we've had an incredible wide variety of people that we've talked to. Edward Albee was once a guest on this program. Actually, I think it was Waldenstein. We had one of the first programs talking about safer sex. In fact, I actually had to ask the lawyers what we can say and what we can't say, because I wanted it to be very much, you know, like how people talk. You know, in the street talk rather than the clinical talking. We've had some really incredible things. I know Glenn's done some great interviews. We talked to people who've been living with HIV and living with AIDS. We talked to transgender people.
Oh, yes. And we had people from the black community talking about the AIDS in their community that's ravishing their, and, you know, they're going to lose a whole generation if something isn't done. And all of this you hear on Pacifica. You hear on KPFT. You can't hear it anywhere else, and not in the format we give it. We give you the truth. We give you news and information you won't hear elsewhere. And the reason is because you support the station. Your contributions make it possible for this radio station to exist and to broadcast the news and information that you want to hear, that you won't hear elsewhere. You can appreciate KPFT by simply putting it on another talk show to channel. Listen to it a little while, and you'll appreciate us even more because of the candid conversation you can have on KPFT. So pick up your phone, call us at 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT.
This is the only station you're going to hear this way out. The wonderful, you know, the news magazine, and that's on like 150 stations worldwide. It's a global GLBT news magazine. In Houston, you're only going to hear it here.
And, you know, we always keep hearing that it's going to go away, it's going to go away, and somehow it always gets this last breath to go on for a few more months, mm-hmm. and we're very, very appreciative, because we can't cover the international and the national issues that they cover, and we incorporate it in our show, which is just really great.
And I've been on their show for 6 years now.
I know.
As part of Audiophile.
I know, and, you know, we've been trying to get you just on that show, you know? it's great. I mean, I'm really proud of the fact that J.D., not only does the programming here on Queer Voices, but also is nationally heard, internationally heard on This Way Out. And he does a great, great job of putting, you know, queer music, reviewing it, talking about it.
You were about to get my website.
Queer Music Heritage.
QueerMusicHeritage.com.org.us.
Boy, it's just amazing how you're thinking even faster than I am. So anyway, call us now at 713-526-KPFT, 713-526-KPFT.
And now what?
And now let's go to some more This Way Out. Maybe. There.
The first national organization for gays in the United States started in L.A. in 1950, the Mattachine Society, and the Metropolitan Community Church, the Advocate, and other national organizations started in L.A. before Stonewall.
Come to me from Crete, to this your sacred temple, here to this gracious glade of apples and altars thick with incense.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg.
Okay, well, that one's not cooperating either.
Well, we're having all kinds of mechanical problems. A contribution from you could help us out on this.
Well, and some of it's operator problems, so we can't always blame the equipment. You
know, well, he's just overpaid. That must be it. We're all volunteers here.
We really try to do a professional show, and sometimes it really works, and just sometimes it doesn't. But it's important for you to support this radio station because of the type of programming that's only heard here on KPFT. It's not heard anywhere else, and you go up and down that dial, and you listen to all the different things. the issues, like some of the things they talk about, the air pollution and thresholds is a great show that's heard. The new Capital program that's on Thursdays, I believe, around 11 a.m. is just a fabulous show. And, you know, it's easy for them when the other stations do, like the State of the Nation speech that Bush gives every so often, but Democracy Now! Really sort of pulls that apart and talks about some of the behind the scene issues that you won't hear anywhere else, and what the effects of, you know, you can get on there and make all these promises, but these things just don't add up. And Amy really does pull that apart and gets to talk about some of that stuff. We do some special program in the archives that Pacifica has. It's pretty incredible, because there's stuff there that nobody else has. And luckily, you know, there at one time that some of the stuff was saved. So we're asking you to call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Let's check in the lobby to see if we have anybody to thank.
Howdy, howdy.
Hello.
How's it going?
Just fine.
All right. Yeah, there's been a few people that have been calling in. And I'd like to thank Daniel right here in Houston that has called in and made a pledge, along with John and David and Jim and Ahmed that have followed suit.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Do we have a total?
You're sitting at 275.
Okay. We've got a long way to go.
And half an hour to get there.
Yes.
So please, everybody, come pick up the phone and call. You can always contribute so much each month. So if you don't have a large contribution now, you can always work out an arrangement to pay a small amount each month for months to come or a whole year.
Like $5 a month or $10 a month.
Absolutely.
So, call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. You know, it's really interesting that a number of people who started here at KPFT went on to other, being able to do some other media. And it's sort of been a training ground for some people. It's had just an eclectic amount of people and subjects that were covered. Certainly Ray Hill started, helped start GLBT programming here on KPFT.
And he has his prison show now.
And, you know, Ray Hill's been helped get the station started in its early days. And, of course, KPFT has the only station to be bombed off the air in 1970. And, you know, the history book of broadcasting. And definitely, if Amy Goodman wrote the history book of broadcasting, I'm sure that would be in there. Congress is actually talking about it, and maybe under the Democratic Congress they may help solve some of these problems, or at least slow them down. The media conglomeration of all these stations. I mean, Clear Channel owns about 1,000 radio stations, which is just incredible. In some of the cities that they broadcast in, they pretty much own almost all the media. That doesn't happen here in Pacifica. Pacifica is much more open to have people come in and be able to talk about things. We're open. We're definitely open. We like to cover all these different areas of our community. And in fact, if you feel that we're not covering some things, give us email. Let us know. Jack@queervoices.org. If you know how to program a website, we're looking for somebody to help us do our website because we just haven't had time to do it. So call us at 713-526-5738.
Okay. Hey, I have an announcement. So some good news for anyone who plays volleyball. The Lone Star Volleyball Association, the volleyball league here in Houston, which is for, let me get this straight here, gay, straight, bisexual, transgendered. Did I miss one? Lesbian?
Lesbian.
Okay.
Lesbians.
I know there's five lesbians there, so it's anyway. if you're one of those, if you're not, then I think you need to worry. But if
you're breathing.
Yeah, if you're breathing, you're welcome to join LSVA and play volleyball. I know that recently, the last 2-3 years, LSVA has been playing out at Willowbrook, a wonderful sports complex out there near Willowbrook Mall, and that's kind of a distance out, and that has been a deterrent to some folks. However, LSVA is now going to be meeting as a league to play on Sundays at the downtown YMCA, which is going to be a lot more convenient for everybody. That's going to be starting not this coming Sunday, because that's Super Bowl Sunday.
It is.
It is? Who's playing?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Love those Mets.
Really?
Are the Strohs playing?
Yeah, it's Toilet Bowl Sunday. But anyway, the Sunday after that, league will start play on a regular basis every weekend.
I wonder if they have a
Sunday.
Website where people can get information.
Yes, wouldn't you know it, they actually do. I'm not sure.
Do you happen to have it?
If it's completely up to date, but it's very easy to remember. It's lsva.org. Lone Star Volleyball Association.
Thank you.
.org.
Call us at 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. And make a donation to Pacifica, KPFT, to keep our program, as well as all the other programs on KPFT, broadcasting. Go ahead.
Something I like to mention whenever I'm pitching is that if you're on the fence about pledging during Queer Voices, well, then don't pledge for yourself. Pledge for that teenager in Angleton or Tomball or wherever, that this is their only contact with GLBT issues or people or anything. And, you know, perhaps, yes, a lot of youth have the internet now. Some of them don't, especially the lower income people.
And
but they do
blocked.
Have. But they. Yes, but some of it's blocked, but they do have radios, and they can hear us and hear real queer people.
And get information about the community, what's going on, supportive. You know, we do a lot of political stuff here. We have a lot of guests. We had Barney Frank on. We've had other guests here. Ann Clutterbuck came on. Anise has been here before. Sue Lovell has been here before. All of those people talking about our community, talking about the events and the political aspect of our community. A lot of people get out and vote. A lot of people don't. A lot of people don't know what's going on. In a couple of weeks, we'll have representatives from Equality Texas here to talk about what the legislature's doing, and hopefully not doing to us as a community. And for those of you who don't know, I'll make a quick announcement that March 5th is GLBT Lobby Day in Austin, Texas. You can find out about it if you didn't know and you're just hearing about it now. Go to equalitytexas.com, and it's when the page comes up, it's right in the middle of the page.
Is it .org?
No, it's .com.
Oh.
Yeah. On the other side of the spectrum, in the fourth week of this month during Queer Music Heritage, I'm going to do a special on music of the bear community. And when have you heard that anywhere addressed?
What is music of the bear community?
Well, you have to stay tuned to listen, Jack.
I'll have to hold my
give
breath.
Give us a little.
Well, it covers the
titillation.
It covers the waterfront.
Oh.
Lyrically about bears, lyrically about other bears.
I think there's a bear convention in Dallas in March, isn't
there's
there?
Yes, there is. There are a number of bear conventions around the country all year.
And they have to reinforce the elevators.
Not all bears
are
of the larger persuasion.
Do you have This Way Out yet?
No, we're not going to have This Way Out.
Oh.
So
we're
keep pitching.
We're chatting.
That's right. By the way, anyone who listens to our program over the internet is certainly welcome to call in and pledge support from wherever you
We've
are.
We've had pledges from out of the state.
Iowa, Ohio. Yeah. And also, if you are listening at a different time other than Monday evening, because you happen to be happen to have downloaded or you're streaming the program and it's some evening other than Monday
evening. Archived, yeah.
You can still call in and say that you want to pledge support for Queer Voices. You know, it still goes to KPFT and it still supports getting this program on the airwaves and out on the internet waves.
So
So call us. Call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
You know, one of the big advantages of having this program and supporting it with pledges is J.D.'s vast music library that we get to make use of. And J.D., you gave me something to play here, and I think you wanted me to play track two.
It's called November or Nothing, I believe.
Okay.
And it's by Sonia.
Hey.
Yeah.
Was a Sonya double play. You heard November or Nothing and Two Eggs Over Easy, another one I like quite a bit. And a reminder that Sonya will be seen this Friday night in Houston at one of the Diva House concerts at Super Happy Funland, 7:30 on Ashton Street. You can get information at www.sonyadf.com.
This is Queer Voices.
And this is us asking you to pledge to KPFT.
This is what that looks like.
Yes, pledge, please. This is your brain on whatever. And as we are sort of winding up our show tonight, we really ask you to help support us and the shows that we do here on KPFT called Queer Voices. KPFT is a locally programmed station. Very few of the things that are heard over the air actually come off the satellite or are canned or, on, in the old days, used to call it on tape. We do a lot of that. We're lucky to be able to do that because we have volunteers that come in at all hours of the day and night and do their programming.
I'm live and on tape.
Well, yes. You, that's right. You do some of your stuff because it takes
I'm
a lot.
I'm in the can.
Yes.
And you do it well.
Thank you.
And you learned how to do all that stuff.
Well, I have good mentors.
And basically, we said, just do it. Do it.
Well, okay.
Well, a lot of it is
read the instructions, right?
We're asking you to pledge to KPFT, and there is a number of different levels you can pledge to, and there are some goodies that KPFT has, from T-shirts to mugs to all different types of things. And can you read that over there?
No.
No? Okay. Well, if you call us up at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, they'll tell you what we have. They'll tell you the goodies. But hopefully you're pledging because you really appreciate the type of programming that, you know, you can get for free. But we're asking you to pay that special tax.
The chart Jack was looking at is the cost of KPFT per day.
Oh.
And for example, for a $75 pledge, that's only 21 cents a day, much less than Starbucks.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yeah, so $10, as they call it.
You mean it's gone up? I always called it $5. Well, and truthfully, you know, for the cost of one latte per month, you can support this station, this show. It's not that much, and you're not really giving up that much. You won't notice it if you just take it out and send it to us. Call at KPFT at 713-526-5738 or 713-526-KPFT.
Well, there are a variety of T-shirts available for the different amounts. $75, a news T-shirt. The $90 pledge gets a piece tee, and that's a good-looking shirt. I've got one of those. I even wear it out in public. I know. Gasp.
Peace and Pacifica go together.
Yes, they sure do.
Except for those arguments that go on in those board meetings.
And there's a number of CD packages available. The call in, and you can just find out what you got to pick from. But that's just bonus. That's icing.
Right.
The cake is really the meat and potatoes of what you have available
the
on
cake
KPFT.
Is the meat and potatoes. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Did I mix my metaphors?
It was an interesting metaphor for sure. Well, the thing is that your contribution makes it possible for you. You know, when you're in your car, you turn on the station, or in your home listening, or on your computer listening from our website, you're getting the best in radio, the different stories, the news, the information you won't hear anywhere else, you can find on KPFT.
We ask you to do your part. Your part is helping us keep on the air and keep on the air. KPFT is in the process of putting a new transmitter on the air, so that we're going up from 28,000 watts to 100,000 watts, which means that our signal will get out a little bit better. I know sometimes around those skyscrapers it doesn't quite come out as good as it should.
And none of that's going to affect how much we get paid.
No, that's right. No, it's not going to affect that. It might affect the valet out front.
We're kidding. We've got to say we're kidding. We are strictly volunteers.
Yeah, sometime you should come by and visit us here at the station and donate some money.
If they can get past the security here.
That's right. Just remember, knock on the door and wave.
KPFT is a community radio station, and that's what we've been joking about. Community radio station means that we have a small paid staff here, and most of the people on the air, probably except for the news department, are volunteers. We volunteer because we have a real passion for what we believe in. And KPFT is what's called block programming because we have a lot of different types of programming, from music to public affairs to news.
You want diversity? This is where it is.
Boy, you got it here. You got it. It really
we're gonna program your block off.
And as we're coming to the end of our show, we're asking you to call us now because, you know, we'll be back next week also, but it'd be nice to be able to make our goal for tonight.
And yeah, if you donate and pledge enough tonight, you won't have to listen to us next week about it.
Oh, promises, promises. What is our goal for tonight?
Our goal is $900. In fact, you know, what Deborah and I used to do is we used to sing on the air, and boy, that's scary.
Oh, scary.
We will sing if you don't contribute.
And Deborah will be back next week. I think she went to Austin to lobby. I think it was Women's Lobby Day, if I'm
right. Right, Women's Lobby Day.
So, and Deborah's very much involved in now, which I really appreciate it. You know, I appreciate the work that Deborah's done, as of everybody else here that is volunteering on Queer Voices. It makes my life a lot easier because they're, you know, everybody's very dependable. We have some really good guests. We talk about a lot of different issues. But now you do your part. Call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
You have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Valensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Listened to any of our special reports? Have you listened to the local and national discussions that looks at unique sides of an issue to help you think and understand? You have to admit, $10 or $20 a month is quite a bargain for reliable, intelligent news and information that is available all the time and wherever you are. The programming we bring you, the programming you love, only exists because you choose to financially support it with your membership. Membership is the foundation for KPFT. We must continue to add new programs to keep it strong. Be a part of a great tradition. We've made it simple and affordable, and it only takes a minute of your time. Call 713-526-KPFT or join online at kpft.org. This is KPFT Houston.
I'm Ray Hill. You're listening to radio station KPFT Houston. We're a child of the Pacifica Foundation, and Pacifica Foundation was founded in 1949 and virtually invented public radio. Much of what you know about the history of yourself, your country, your society, much you understand about your culture has grown out of public radio and television stations that had their roots in Pacifica Foundation. We need and deserve your continuous support. Listen carefully for the number. The host will tell you how you can become a listener.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston.
If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.